John Shorthouse joins us this morning. Good morning, Shorty.
Good morning. Good morning to you all.
Shakespeare coined the question, to be or not to be, to play or not to play Brock Besser. That is our question.
Will he or should he?
That's two different questions, John.
Yeah, there you go. I think he probably will. Just from sheer observation yesterday out of UBC, for a time when they first started, it looked to me like Louis Erickson might be coming out of the lineup, as he and Marcus Granlund were kind of swapping out on a line with Alex Burmistrov and Jake Virtanen. But as practice progressed, it looked more and more like Burmistrov could potentially be coming out of the lineup against his former team, one of them, the Winnipeg Jets, as he kind of just did his own thing at one end of the ice while the team went through some drills at the other. So I don't know for sure if Brock Besser will play, but he did skate on a line with Bo Horvat and Sven Berchi yesterday. And I would say that for the first time in, you know, a week or 10 days observing practice, that it does look like he could conceivably and probably will play tonight against the Jets.
John, is it tough for him to get into the lineup if he does indeed play tonight? Because we were just thinking they had a week off before the season even started, so he hasn't played a game in a long time.
Yeah, Travis Green made a good point the other day, though, that of all the players on this team, he's probably the most used to that in terms of recent experience because, you know, collegiate players don't play all that often.
Sure.
You know, they do go a week between games pretty regularly, as opposed to NHL players who are used to playing, you know, probably every other or every third night. So I think on top of that, I mean, he's had a taste of the NHL playing nine games down the stretch last year. But I still think that when his time comes, whether it's tonight or not, that there's going to be a, you know, a pretty healthy level of adrenaline involved. And, you know, I don't think, you know, dead legs or anything like that are going to be an issue for Brock. I think if he steps in, he'll probably play pretty well.
We're talking to John Shorthouse this morning here on the starting lineup on Sportsnet 650. And that's, look, there's the anticipation and the excitement now that has just continued to build here over the last week amongst the fan base, eager to see what Brock Besser can do now in a regular season game for the first time since those nine games that
with
we saw.
With Bo Horvat.
Canuck
fans want to see that. They want to see what those two together.
They do. And, you know, if you were, you know, certainly if you were in a position of having to market the team, you'd be pulling your hair out probably with the fact that Brock Besser hasn't played yet, because there is an appetite for that. And I'm just, it's like this town always latches on to a certain player or a situation that there's always something in Vancouver, whether it's, you know, you can go back to the goaltending days, whether it was Kirk McLean and Troy Gamble or Corey Hirsch or Kay Whitmore, you know, oh, the other guy should be playing. I guess my point is I'm glad that it has to do with a hotshot young prospect as opposed to a backup goalie or a sixth or seventh defense. I remember the days where we would just, and I know he's a contributor to the station these days, but we wasted a lot of ink worrying about Shane O'Brien not being in the Vancouver lineup. It's nice that instead of a sixth or seventh defenseman, we're talking about a pretty exciting winger who might be able to put up some numbers.
Well, how many times have we talked about Corey Schneider? I mean, he's doing very well in New Jersey. Yeah. There's a great example of someone who's like, why aren't we playing him?
There's just something about this town.
Yeah.
I can go back to the 80s and the Lions, you know, when there was the movement to play Tim Cowan over Roy DeWalt. You know, it's just, there's always something that we
why is Damon Allen playing?
Dickinson and Printers.
Yes.
You know, Jonathan Jennings, Travis Lule.
It's always
David Ostead, Stefan Marinovic for Whitecaps fans out there this morning.
Now, speaking of that, is it Anders Nilsson tonight?
Oh, I don't think so.
Really?
No. Why?
Well, there's no clear cut number one right now that Travis Green insists on. And yes, Markstrom's played well, but there's still areas that could use a little cleaning up. And I would point to the first 5 minutes of both games that have been played so far, where there'd be two mulligans, I think, for Markstrom. Has he bounced back? Incredibly well. But if we're still looking at no clear cut number one, why not get Nilsson in there and see what he can do, especially coming off a shootout loss?
I think you guys have miraculously and amazingly just solidified the point I made 30 seconds ago. Sorry. Really? Is this an issue? I don't personally see Anders Nilsson playing until they go to Buffalo in the back-to-back.
Really?
Yeah,
I was in practice.
James and I have debated this morning. I'm in your corner. I think it's more Jacob going to carry the load, and then Anders gets in when he gets in, because Jacob is the number one guy.
I think Anders Nilsson is still just sheer observation.
Yeah,
I think he's still very much working on his game right now, and I think they're gonna. Why would you take Jacob Markstrom out right now? Sure, okay, early goals. But you're talking about a guy through two games with a goals against average of 1.94 and a save rate of 948. He's one of the, if not the biggest reason they've taken three of their first 4 points.
I'm nitpicking.
You are. This is. I mean, for you to have brought that up.
Yeah.
At the moment you did, like within honestly 30 seconds of me talking about how we react in this town was just, that was awesome.
Well done.
I ain't missing a beat. I'm going to stick to my guns on this, but I think it goes back to what Travis Green has preached. And to say, if no guy has really clearly established themselves, why not use it as an opportunity? You can go back to Markstrom on Saturday night.
But I think Markstrom has established himself as the number. I think he is the number one guy. I think he's the number one guy going forward. He's the incumbent. Go ahead, John.
No, I just think that one of you is totally overthinking this.
Does his name end with an I?
That's right.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
Let's ask you.
That's Vancouver, man, because, you know, it happens on any day that ends in Y.
Yes. Touche.
You guys have a lot of little letters here. Let's talk about defense. Do you foresee a chance where Alex Biega gets a shot in the upcoming games?
No, okay. Potentially, but I think they're set on their top six. And I think if they go to a seventh, I would think Derek Pouliot would be the next guy to come in personally. So to answer that one about a seventh defenseman, I don't think so. I think you'll probably see the same top six tonight. I know that there was a few struggles there on the Hutton Stetcher pairing the other night. They're not going to throw in the towel on anybody this early in the season. No. And I think it's important for those guys as well, just to know that they have the confidence of the coach at this point in time. And there's not going to be any drastic overreaction based on one or two bad shifts.
We're talking to John Shorthouse, Shorty here on the starting lineup on Sportsnet 650. Let's look a little to the opposition tonight here. And the Jets are such a fascinating team to me because everybody loves what they've been doing slowly but surely for the last number of years, but now's kind of their window. And nobody wants to talk about them being a contender, but when you kind of look at what they've kind of built here, now's kind of their window, isn't it? When you look at Scheifele and Byfuglien and Laine, and we know that Byfuglien's not going to be there, but Wheeler, it's this mix of young and vets. It feels like, okay, I remember talking to Mark Spector about this a couple of weeks ago, and he made the point, like, all right, show me what you got now. Like, prove it. And that's totally what I think I want to see from the Jets here in this 2017-2018 campaign, Shorty.
But yeah, potentially. I mean, they've been very patient with this.
Yeah, maybe too patient.
Group. Yeah, well, that's the question. And I still think there's probably some question marks in goal. Connor Hellebuck played pretty well the other night. Steve Mason can be a little erratic. I think that's been borne out through his career. The pieces are there. They always, I mean, because of sort of just the arc that both franchises have been on, and I'm talking about the Canucks and the Jets, Winnipeg, and I generally see them, as you can imagine, when they're playing Vancouver, it's a good matchup for the Jets. So I always leave those games kind of with the same feeling that you're throwing out there, that, you know, this team should be in a better spot than it is most of the time, just because of the combination of size and speed that for the last few years has really been apparent in games where they're playing the Canucks, which is, you know, the opportunity that I usually get to assess them. So So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is just because of the arc the Canucks have been on the last couple of years and the one that the Jets have been on the last couple of years, that maybe my opinion of the Jets is a little overvalued because of the fact that I've only seen them playing the Canucks, where they won 6 of the last 7 against Vancouver, and I think they're 7-2-2 in their last 11. They just look big and fast and all those things. But, you know, maybe against some of the other competition in the NHL, they don't look quite as imposing. But I'm with you. They certainly have some very talented guys. And if you watched the game the other night in Edmonton, I mean, it was on full display, a 4-point game and a hat trick for Nikolai Ehlers. Blake Wheeler had 3 assists. Mark Scheifele, who put up a point a game last year, in fact, better than a point a game, had 3 points in Edmonton. He's got 5 points in his first 3 games. So, you know, the offensive end is there. They have obviously some size and some mobility on defense, but they have yet to put it all together. And, you know, I think there was some surprise that the Jets rewarded not just Paul Maurice, but Kevin Cheveldayoff with extensions. Maurice in particular, this will, you know, he's been there 3.5 years. This is his 5th season. You know, he took over midway through 4 years ago. I thought that might be a direction. If you're going to be patient with a roster, then sometimes, you know, it behooves you to make a switch somewhere else and see if that can make a difference. But they've elected to be patient pretty well in every area. And so it is Maurice behind the bench and a very similar lineup to what we've seen through the years coming to Rogers Arena tonight.
John, how do the Canucks play against Winnipeg tonight to be successful? They held a line off the score sheet against Edmonton in a shutdown line, but they can't really do that as much with Winnipeg because they have a couple of superstars and 3 superstars. So how as a team do you go up against Winnipeg?
Pick your poison, right?
Yeah.
I think what you want to do is you want to try to have the puck and you want to try to play at their end of the ice. I mean, that's your strategy against every team. It will be interesting to see, though, you know, in terms of the Edler-Tanev pairing and in terms of the Sutter line, exactly where and when Travis Green and in terms of the defense, Nolan Baumgartner, elect to deploy and against whom, that quintet of players. To answer your question, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know for sure exactly how they're going to go about it.
Because you mentioned all those players that have started off the season great, and we didn't even talk about Patrick Laine.
No, I know, exactly.
Amazing, considering he was...
Ovechkin Jr.
Yeah, Ovechkin Jr.
I mean, he sets up shop on the top of the circle on his off wing. Holy cow, can he shoot the puck. And they say his shot this year is even more potent and has more zip on it than it did in the past, and it was already one of the best in the game.
That was
and to answer your question further, Steve, the previous one about beating the Jets, the Canucks obviously need to get their power play going.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg, only 2 teams last year were shorthanded more than the Jets, Calgary and Anaheim. Winnipeg was shorthanded 275 times, I think, to the point where they brought Paul Dvorsky into training camp this year, a retired ref, to try to help them understand, you know, exactly why they were taking so many minor penalties and putting the other team on the power play. So if that trend, you know, if Mr. Dvorsky's words didn't quite sink in and the Jets have a parade to the penalty box tonight, it would be a good time for the Canucks to find something on their power play, which has been pretty inept so far to start the year.
And the one bonus is they're not going to be facing Dustin Byfuglien, who, if Canuck fans right. remember from the past, has always been trouble when he comes to Vancouver, no matter who he's playing for.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, certain players seem to get up for or match up well against certain teams. You know, people in Calgary will tell you that Michael Ferland, when he plays the Canucks, looks like a totally different player than than when he plays some other teams. Sometimes.
Canucks fans would agree with that, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he can dominate games, and Byfuglien kind of falls into that category, whether, you know, particularly in Chicago, but also in Winnipeg a little bit, and, you know, prior to that, Atlanta. But the Chicago days we remember well, and, I'm sure it's not a bad thing that Vancouver won't have to face Byfuglien here tonight.